Welcome to Pivoting to Web3 Podcast, where your host and your guests are going to express to you the opportunities and limitations of Web3 technologies, where they win, and sometimes it could be a downward spiral. So check in with Pivoting to Web3Podcast.com and stay abreast on what's happening now. And here's your host, Donna Mitchell. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Pivoting to Web3 Podcast. And today we have Tirza Ekholm. Now, Tirza was on the launch show programs that went through that week. We did about six podcasts in that 1 week, and she was number five. Now, Tirza has a diverse background in technology, engineering. She's worked for the corporate companies, and she's done a lot with the pixels, the patents, and now she's in AI. So check out that number five if you want to know a little bit more about Tirza. But Tirza right now is in AI. She's an artist. She's doing a lot of great things in the intersection of AI, transforming her style and artwork, and doing a lot of different things with AI and ChatGPT with her own podcast. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later in detail. But for right now, I'd like to introduce Tirza Ekholm. And Tirza, say hello. How are you, girlfriend? It's nice to have you. How you been doing?
Thank you, Donna. Hello, everyone. Thank you, Donna, for having me on your show again. It's always a pleasure. And I just love watching what you do and catching up with you. It's fun.
Well, it's been an exciting time and a great ride. And I just think you were somebody that I should have back on and find out what's going on, how it's going on, and what you're doing now. Because you have a lot going on with that artistic work. Tell us, how did you decide to continue on that journey and really immerse yourself into AI and art? I don't have a lot of conversation about that. But it's taking off everywhere, it seems. Tell us about it.
Oh, my gosh. It is such a blast, Donna. So probably the first tool you do know about, it was a dream. But later on, when ChatGPT came out with DALL-E 3, well, actually, you know, I have that backwards. DALL-E 3 was before ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. And I did try DALL-E in the very beginning. And I just really, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't make it work for me. So I just set it aside. Later on, when ChatGPT came on the scene, I began playing with ChatGPT. But then they added DALL-E 3 back into the mix. It became DALL-E 3 at that point. And I discovered I could not only just put in the prompts to make art, I could chat and make art.
So as you're chatting away, as I've seen you do with your show, Permission to be Curious. How did you decide to take that approach? Sounds like we're going to talk about your show first, and then we're going to dig a little deeper later. So since we're into the show already, tell us how you decided to approach it the way you did.
Well, you know, I've been watching the field of AI for quite a while since it came out. There's a lot of people on X, for example, that talk about this. And LinkedIn and other places. And there's all kinds of what they call prompt engineering going on. And people are using all of the chatbots for programming, for making websites, for doing business. I mean, a whole bunch of things. And I like all that. But I just got to thinking, well, what if I just had a conversation? I do it quite frequently. Even when I'm taking training, I will sometimes pause the training video and go over and say, okay, now why is this important? Why do I care about this? Tell me more about this. And it will do that. And these days, it'll actually go do some research and come back. So I want to explore what it's like as more of a companion.
So when you do this more as a companion, and you're doing your artistic and you're having the conversations, where do you see the intersection? What really gave you the motivation to go forward and do a deeper dive, especially in your artwork? You've got some really, really pretty artistic styles and dimensions. And I'm seeing a lot of great pieces from it seems in various styles and mixed artwork. Talk to us about the artwork and the AI. What have you found? What do you like? What are your insights?
Thank you. I really have so much fun with it. These days, a lot of what I do is I go find some art that somebody's doing, and the reason I like X so much is there's a whole AI art community, and they're always sharing prompts and their different pictures. So somebody shares a prompt, and I copy it, and I take it over, and I say, make this, and I look at it, and I go, okay, that's really cool. And that's not me. So let's include some of these elements and take out some of those elements and, mix it up a little bit. And let's throw in a few bit of quantum physics. Now let's throw in some fashion. Pretty soon, that original prompt is kind of long gone because now I've made it mine. And that's what I think art is all about. It's and maybe kind of the equivalent in music might be jazz. I don't know.
So when you take the pieces out, sounds to me you're saying that for any of the listeners that are a little fearful about getting involved, trying it out, exploring, or anything else, they can basically, in good conscience, borrow somebody else's prompt from our Facebook because it's public. Everybody's feeding AI, if I understand what's happening. Everybody's feeding all the different chat GPTs, Bard, and everybody else.
Yes.
But you can use that prompt as your starting point and not be just at the beginning of your journey in AI and art. You can really bring your own skill sets no matter where you are. If you see something you like and modify it to what you want it to be, is that what you're doing? Is that what
Yes.
you're saying?
Yes. I was never a fan of copying anyone else's art. So early on, there were a lot of artists who were just learning how to use it. But they'd say, make me, subject, blah, 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 and do it in the style of, some well-known artist. Well, there was a lot of flack for that, and I tend to agree. So I'm not in favor of copying anybody else's style, especially since I really want my own style. So I think I hope a lot of us have already moved on from that, and we're no longer interested in copying for the sake of copying. We're interested in copying to learn from it and then make it what expresses ourselves.
So what's been some of your most exciting pieces?
I have a lot of fun doing cats, of course. Cats are just fun. I don't know why they're so popular in general, but I like them. They're just fun. You can use their furry little faces and put them with coffee cups and and as astronauts or whatever you want to do, and they're kind of fun that way. But I've also really come to enjoy doing people. So people plus AI, in fact. I like to see how I can mix it up a little bit. And I have fun exploring physics. I'm not a stu I'm a student, but I call myself a dilettante, so don't ask me any detailed questions. I won't know them. But I love to go read the articles and I go, oh, that's cool. I can use that concept in my art.
Oh, is that how I saw you grow? As time has gone on, let's say in the last 6 months. In the last 6 months, you kept posting different pieces, different variations. But it seemed like the prompting, the details, or the platforms you were using changed. Do you mix them? How do you choose what platform you want to use for what?
So that's a really good question. I would say Midjourney is probably still the best if you want to be much more specific about your prompts. So if you're familiar with some things like, this phrase from photography and this phrase from art and watercolors and this, if you're very specific, Midjourney is just gorgeous. So sometimes what I do is I make art on ChatGPT. And sometimes it comes out really great, as you've seen. And other times it's like, that's okay. But then what I do is I go over to Midjourney, and now I take my new prompt, put it in Midjourney. It creates something. And then I use Midjourney to blend them together. So that's a really fun thing to do.
So when you say you blend them together, do you blend the prompts, or you blend the pictures, or you blend both?
I blend the pictures. So whatever I've created on Midjourney and whatever I've created on ChatGPT, I give Midjourney both images and I say, blend these together.
Oh, do you have to add any additional prompts with it?
I don't, no. But I imagine you can. There's a lot of things about Midjourney that I have not even touched. Wow. And then, of course, you can choose. You can talk about style. You can do raw. You can do, you can make it panoramic. You can make it portrait. I mean, it's insane. And then there's all the new AI art tools out that I've only dabbled in a little bit, and they're amazing as well. So,
what are your favorites? Share that with us. What's your favorite ones?
Well, actually, probably it still is ChatGPT. ChatGPT is different in ways that it tends to have a style unless you tell it to mix in elements that are important to you. And actually, I at this point, I've customized my ChatGPT. It knows I like colors.
So. Well, it gives you what you like because it's learned you.
Yes. Yes.
So since it's learned you, you're using Midjourney, use ChatGPT with DALL-E.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other new tools that you're kind of thinking about? And if so, why? Even though you may not have gone in a deep dive yet, what was it about the new tools that are coming out? Because so much is coming out so fast.
Oh, it's amazing.
What really attracts your attention to say, I got to check that one out. I really got to see what's going on there. And where did that come from? I might have to put that in my parking lot. But this one over here, I'm going to deal with that today.
What I do is I'm watching the AI artists on the X community, at X.com, and I see what they do. And I go, oh, my gosh, I got to try that. So there's a lot of 3D work. There's some animation happening. I'm waiting for ChatGPT to make their SORA, Sora text to video, make that go public. That's going to be fun. So their early, examples have been fun and interesting to see. There's other ones out there. I've played a little bit. I want to know more about it, but I haven't made it yet work for me.
So, sounds like a lot of exciting things are going on with AI, as we all know, but especially for the tools in the art world.
Yes.
So in the art world, what else attracts your eye when you keep up with AI? Is it extra reading you do? How do you know what's going on? Like, for people on Pivoting the Web3 podcast, some of them are new to this. People are starting to use it a little more, find something for them to use at work in their jobs. But to do it in an artistic standpoint, whether they are hobbies or professionals or layout, how do you decide what you really want to tamper with and deal with? And what else are you really seeing? Or are there any government issues or compliance issues? Or I guess what I'm searching for is, where are you seeing yourself where you go, wow, I'd like to really do that, but I wonder if I should. And I've got a lot of questions in one, so pick what you like, where you want to start.
We did touch a little bit earlier on ethics, with the whole copyright thing. I think we're going to change what copyright means, actually.
Really?
I think I don't know how that will look at all, but I think as things become more collaborative, it's just going to change our notions of what that means. So we'll see how that goes. Wow. What else? What is it? There's just something about playing with new ways of blending art, going 3D, right? I am looking forward to more of those Web3 things where we can make avatars. I look forward to having an AI avatar represent me. I think that's going to be a blast. I want to engage more people in using AI. So I'm excited about education. I'm excited about robotics. I'm also excited about the medical field. Peter Diamandis is one of the people I follow. Says someday he believes it will be malpractice if the physician, doctor of whatever specialty, is not using an AI assistant. Ooh. If for only for the research, if nothing else. It's so fast, doctors can't keep up with it, and they need to. So if they had an AI assistant just for that alone, that would already be huge.
Now, that sounds like something that I'd be interested in, especially coming out of health and wellness as well. So at the end of the day, it sounds like there's a lot happening to be excited, involved, and busy, and diving in and exploring and seeing how it can work for you. So just about anybody at this point in time, whether you're a business, a professional, or just somebody who wants to do artistry, or you really have a great hand in blending and an eye or photography, there's so much out there in the creative space that you can really become a professional. I mean, when I say professional, you may be a hobbyist and nervous about it, but it seems like there's ways where you can really do something and get paid.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
So I'm watching the growth with you. I'm saying, she's doing really good here. This has come a long way. What do you be reading to be able to go that far and do some of the most exciting pieces I've seen ever? I mean, you really seem like you cross dimensions. Some are futuristic. Some are, you know, from back in the day. It depends on the cultural. It just probably depends on your mood. But how did all that really like happen?
Well, you know what?
How did you do that?
I think I was born curious. So I just go play and play and play. And that's really why I named my podcast the way I did, is because I want people to be curious. This is
I was really wondering that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was wondering that. I was trying to get you there. So is that how that happened?
Yes.
Permission to be curious?
Yes. Yes. It's, so I, as you said, some people are fearful of this, and this is not the time to be fearful.
It is the time for...
It is the time to play. Just go try it out. Right?
Yeah.
You know? So people talk about, there's a lot of concerns about AIs hallucinating, and I can understand that, meaning you can get into a state where it'll give you wrong information. And there are bad actors who will trick it into giving them information they shouldn't have, how to do something illegal, right? Not good, but you could have done that on the internet before, so now you can just be more sophisticated. So there's always bad actors. I'm just saying, most people are not bad actors, they're just afraid of the machine.
So what have you seen that you wish... in some ways you hadn't seen? Is there anything that you've seen or thought about, or you raised your eyebrow out and said, boy, I hope this doesn't happen here, or why are they doing that over there or in that country? What is out there that we need to raise our eyebrows about too?
All right. There's two things. One is, I have told my moms on several occasions, if you get a weird phone call from me saying I'm in trouble or I need money, hang up. This is probably most likely it is not me.
Right.
Because you can use AI to impersonate voices and probably even videos. That's bad stuff. The other thing that I'm more worried about that nobody's really talking about, we've already seen how the algorithms feed you information based on what it's picked up that you like. On one hand, that's kind of a good thing. On the other hand, it leads you to believe that the whole world believes the same as you. And that, to me, is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And it's not just my curious nature. It's, I want to know that there are other opinions out there. I want to know that there's points of view. I don't have to agree with them. That's not it. I just need to know. And maybe I'm wrong. And I won't know that until I hear something from somebody else. Mm-hmm. But if the machine is always feeding me what I want to hear, that's bad news.
So based on where we are today in society, And based on what you're telling me with AI, it can really move us down the path of the unknown that wouldn't be the very positive path of choice, if we had other information. Did I say that okay?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And so there is a tendency for governments anywhere in the world to want to keep the information that makes their country the greatest. And on one hand, you can say, well, that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, you got to know there's more to the world.
So that is that you're not the first person that has said that to me on the show. I just had someone else previously mention almost the same thing. The facts aren't the facts. What's presented may not be real. And if you believe it, then you're believing in something that's not real. And then you have a generation that may not even know the facts or the history. And then the next thing you know, we're in the middle of something we should have never really been in the middle of because it really didn't happen anyway. So,
Yes.
we might be there now, but this isn't that show. So
We
I
can
gotta.
get insane. No, I'm just saying we need to teach critical thinking, and we also need to recognize that we have, if you forget all the social stuff, if, just as human beings, we have cognitive biases.
Yeah, not a good time to have an AI walking us down that path arm in arm, is it? So
No.
tell me this. So permission to be curious. Let's end on a positive note.
Okay.
You've had some episodes and you started the podcast, and what do you want to share with the audience about your podcast? How do we reach you? What is it that we haven't had time to talk about that you'd like us to know?
Well, I do have a YouTube channel by the same name, or you can just search on my name right now because it's in its baby stages, so it's not as yet well developed as I would like. But the what I really encourage people is to send me their questions, anything they're curious about. I want to do two things. One is I'd like to discuss them with ChatGPT because that's just fun. But I want to start bringing guests on the show now and bringing humans in with the mix with ChatGPT. I think that's going to be a blast. It's a bit tricky to manage at the moment, but I think it'll be fun.
So when you say a little tricky to manage, permission to be curious, you actually have a cell phone there or a phone and you talk to ChatGPT through a device. Is that correct? Or a laptop computer?
I actually do it through the phone. It's still only available, the voice interaction is still only available on the phone app.
Okay.
They may change that in the future. What they've added recently is you can do it on the lap on the computer, but ChatGPT will read its responses. And
Oh, so it's not going to
it's
be the same as if you were talking to it on the app. So the app functionality is a little bit different than the desktop.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's what everybody really needs to know. And
And the
when
reason
they.
I said it was tricky is because you and I, when we talk to each other, we've got verbal cues, we've got auditory cues. We might interrupt each other, but we can see
Right.
that, right? ChatGPT doesn't have any of that. And so you have to set up a protocol. You can't in well you I actually you can interrupt it. I can interrupt it. You can't interrupt it as my guest, I'm saying. So there's some protocols that we have to put into place just so we can have a reasonable conversation.
Can you give us some examples of what that protocol might sound like or what you would do? Can you paint that picture for us? That sounds really interesting and very educational for the audience.
Well, right now, just me alone, me with ChatGPT, we're on the camera, we're chatting away. But it's set up to always end with a question. So it's always asking me the next question. What do you think about this? And how do you see this and this? Well, at some point, it's like, okay, I got to wrap up the
Okay.
So I now I give it a keyword that says, on that note, I think this is a great place to wrap up. And it goes, ah, wrap up. I get that.
Wow, sounds like you're talking to chat. Chat's right there next to you, and it's a robot, and in some ways it is.
An answer.
So it's pretty
Right,
cool.
that's the thing to remember. I have no clue whether it's sentient or AGI or any of that. I just know that based purely on language, you feel like you're talking to a person, but you're not. It's always good to remember that.
And for those who have curiosity,
yes,
you've got permission to be curious with Tirza Ekholm. And she's going to tell us how to reach her, and we can reach you how.
The easiest thing actually is to, you can find my YouTube channel, but to actually to connect with me on Facebook and x.com, Tirza Ekholm, or the Tirza Factor. That's the easiest way to reach out to me. We'll connect. Love to have you on my show, or at least just talk about it.
Well, that's exciting. And thank you so much for being on the show. I'm sure everyone listening is going to be very interested and now know that they have permission to be curious while they're pivoting to Web3, podcasts, and shaping tomorrow together. So thanks for listening. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Pivoting to Web3 at pivotingtoweb3.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so that it gets to you with every episode that comes out. We have lots of great opportunities, limitations, and downward spirals being revealed by our guests. And thank you in advance for all your reviews and comments. I appreciate you so much. I look forward to serving you in the next week's episode.